May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Jesus teaches us about listening. It's from our gospel lesson for the day. Okay, are you a good listener? Are you? What would your spouse say? What would your parent say? Are you a good listener? How would God rate you as a listener? I'll let you know after the service today. What he told me, I'm not God. You know, it's interesting, but we can see the problem of other people not listening, can't we? We can see that. Maybe you will join me in asking, why won't they listen? Why won't they turn back before it's too late? Can't they see that what they're doing to themselves is harmful? Can't they see the heartache up ahead if they don't change course? But they're not listening. They're not listening. I read about a young man, 16 years old, always been a good student, not all A's, but good grades, a really good young man. But something happened to him in the past year. He seems to have lost interest in school and his appearance. He spends a great deal of time in his room. And when he emerges, he is hostile. He becomes defensive, however, if you bring up the slightest deviation in his behavior. He denies that he's involved with drugs. What's the matter? He shouts. Don't you trust me? Something has hold of him, something frightfully destructive. Why won't he listen? Why can't we get through to him? Only yesterday we were bouncing him on our knees. He was such a wonderful little boy. Now there's a stranger in the house. Someday he will understand, but will it be too late? Why won't he listen? Listening, that's the big question for the day. Will you listen to Jesus? Today's scripture is a parable that Jesus tells about a farmer who goes out and sows seed with variable results. A parable is a simple story, but with a profound and often mysterious meaning. Without faith in Jesus, we are unable to grasp the true meaning and its most helpful applications to our life. Let me ask you, why do you think Jesus told parables? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? People remember stories. They listen to stories. You know, if you've been hearing me preach and you remember one of my sermons, it's either hit one of your sins pretty hard, but more likely, it's because you remember a story I told. Isn't that right? No. And the fact is, if you've been at Grace for any length of time, you've heard a lot of my stories. You've heard some of them repeated, and I don't even know I'm doing it. Stories stick with us. They stick with us. If you listen closely to Jesus' parables and you ponder them, this is what will often happen. You'll be surprised to find that you're one of the characters in them. And they have two kinds of effect on us. The first is to provoke us to repent. Oh no, I'm the prodigal son. I've wasted a good bit of my life and spent it on all kinds of things that weren't good for me. Oh no. Or maybe worse and probably less likely though, I'm the unforgiving, jealous, angry, and nasty older son in the prodigal son parable. Right? Or the story, the parable, may lead us to see how loving and compassionate our God is. He leads us to find the pearl of great price. Or he sees our difficult situation, he hears our cries, and reverses everything out of his incredible love for us. Like the rich man and Lazarus. At the end of the story, what? Lazarus is elevated, and the rich man is dethroned. In the end, you see, we don't really interpret parables. They interpret us. They reveal us for who we really are. And like I've already said, faith has to come before understanding. If you don't believe in Jesus, these stories are not really going to make sense to you in any but the most simple way. But there's profound meaning for us in these stories. And they're meant to have a profound effect on our lives. Now, the parable of the sower is a simple, straightforward story. And what's more, Jesus explains it to us. God is the sower, his word is the seed, and the soil is our hearts. There are four responses. Someone has summarized it like this. I really like this. The first is, I don't get it. The second is, I got it, but it's not for me. The third is, I got it, I want it, but I'm too busy right now. And the fourth response is, I got it, I want it, and thank God for it. The first response, the seed is sown on a path of hardened ground. These are people with an unteachable spirit. They won't listen because they are full of pride. I'm going to run my life, thank you. I know what's best for me. It is said of them that none are so blind and so deaf as those who deliberately won't see or hear. They are easy pickings for Satan. Then there is seed scattered on rocky ground. Unfortunately, I have seen this often. People excited to be a Christian, enthusiastic followers of Jesus, but it doesn't last. Sometimes it's the least bit of trouble that sidetracks them. Nothing serious at all. Why did you stop coming to church? You know what? So-and-so didn't say hi to me. Right? They just ignored me. Well, there are other people there. I know, but that happened to me. I'm giving you an exact situation. That's it. I've had it. But of course, there can be severe troubles, severe persecution. Take the case of Tom Sutherland. At one time, Tom was an upstanding Christian. He was an elder at his home church. But then that was before he was a captive in Lebanon for 6.5 years. He was an agricultural professor there in Beirut. And he was captured. During his captivity, Sutherland was held in 26 different locations. Some of his cells were cold, dark, underground, 6x6 cells. After 18 months of captivity, he was moved to one of those solitary underground cells where he remained for a long time. He became so discouraged, he tried to commit suicide 3 times by putting a bag over his head. But each time he fell short of this as he remembered his wife, and his three daughters. Well, Tom Sutherland died last year in July. But the real casualty of his life was that his escape was arranged, paid for really, essentially, and he was freed. But as he talks about his experience, the casualty was his faith. He no longer believed in God. In an interview, this is what he says. He said, "I prayed so many times, so hard I prayed, and nothing happened." He ceased to be a believer. You know, I feel compassion for Tom Sutherland. I don't know what I would do in such circumstances if I had such a horrible experience as he had, and it was horrible. Would I maintain my faith? I would hope so. But here's the thing. There were others who went through the very same thing as Tom Sutherland did, and even longer than him. And they maintained their faith. In fact, it was actually stronger. Jerry Levin, Middle East bureau chief for CNN, was taken captive in Lebanon. He was converted to Christianity in his captivity, and he came out so much stronger as a Christian, his faith. And then there is Terry Anderson, the longest held captive, whose faith was extremely strong. And Terry Waite, the Episcopal aide who went to help free them and ended up in captivity. Both of them are strong in the faith. The third soil describes, I think, the majority today of seed thrown along soil that has lots of thorns and it gets choked out. Now, these are the many who really don't have time to listen to the word. Other things occupy their lives. They're enamored with money and pleasures and all the worries and anxieties that come with just living life, right? Coming to church, receiving the Lord's Supper, praying, reading the Word, witnessing to others. Why, there's no time for such things. There are more important priorities. And Jesus is crowded out of their lives. Perhaps they're not even conscious of this happening. In many cases, they're not at all. They would say, "Well, yeah, I believe. I've just got this assignment at work, and we're going on vacation here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I'll get back. I'll get back to you. I'll be back, Lord, when I have time." But then there's the good soil. They listen, they understand, they repent, they're committed. They seek God as a priority in life. They translate their hearing into action. The seed grows within them and it multiplies. And they bear much fruit. So, what is it exactly that Jesus is teaching us today? I think he wants you to listen right now. This very moment. If we're absolutely honest, and I want to be with you, and I hope you will be, and you're listening, if we're absolutely honest, we have to admit that from time to time we were all four kinds of soil. Am I right? There have been times in my life when I was hardened soil, wanting to live my own way with pride and selfishness, without regard to God, because after all, I knew it was right for me. I like to think that those days are gone for good, but there are days when I don't think they're gone for good. And there are days, and I think you might agree with me, when we've been enthusiastic Christians, who we're not going to wilt, but we do wilt. At the first sign of trouble or difficulty, I've had it. Is it any surprise to you that some days I've just said, I've had it at being a pastor? If so-and-so, you know, pastors are normal people, even though we have robotic responses at times, and we look like, yes, I say the Christian thing. And then there are times when we've been those who have lived for money and pleasure and filled with worry and anxiety about those things, and we have no room for God. And then we're the good soil at times. We really listen, and we really repent. Repentance. God's love in Jesus by His Word can replow your heart. He'll do this at this very moment when you turn to Him, replowing, making you good soil. What is the Christian life but daily to listen and daily to repent? Isn't that the Christian life? The Christian life is wanting to receive God's forgiveness. We want to be watered. We want to be fed the good food that makes us grow. Daily listen. Daily repent. You know, there's another important thing Jesus is teaching us in this parable, and it is simply this. If this is the way they responded to Jesus, when many rejected Him and would not listen to Him, then can we expect any different? The majority may reject the gospel, and yet the seed must be planted, and the seed will produce a mighty harvest. So who is it that sows the seeds today? Who has been called to do that? Us. We're to sow the seeds now. Jesus gave us a great commission. Go out and spread my word and make disciples of all peoples. That's the job He's given us. And we must not think that we have failed if our message is refused, because it's going to be refused by more than it's accepted by and received. But we ought to keep on sowing, keep on throwing the seed. Especially to people we love, especially people close to us, especially to our children. Keep sowing the seed. I love one of my favorite scriptures is the Old Testament lesson for today. Isaiah 55:11. My word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire it to accomplish and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's a great verse, isn't it? You know, when we think we're making any headway with people who we love and care, we want them to have the same faith that we do. When I, as a pastor, feel like, what's happened? What did I do wrong, you know, that people are not responding? Then I remember, Jesus had 12 disciples. Yes, He had other people that believed in Him. But the majority rejected His word. Keep planting. Keep sowing the seed. It'll find a receptive heart. And when it does, it's time for me to end this message, but I just thought of something. You know, the Spirit does this sometime. Especially when I was in Alabama, because I used that church, and so that you won't think of I'm talking about you. Of course I am. Every time I tell you a story about Alabama, there's somebody here who's just like it, right? What gets me is that some of the people I thought most likely would not receive the word, it would not do anything in their life. It's that most unlikely guy, I can see him right now, in which the word penetrated his heart, and oh my goodness, it sprouted and grew so fast, I thought for a while it was fake. But all these years later, I know it's not. He was a man's man, and he became a man of God, and nothing has dissuaded him. And much is the fruit in his life. Are you listening? We are the repentant. We are. And now we're the sowers of the seed. And there will be a harvest. In Jesus' name, into his glory. Amen.